This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And it's kind of a special day for those of us who share some Irish heritage, and even for those who don't. As a matter of fact, we've got Jessica Gatso here. Now, Gatso is not an Irish name, is it, Jessica?
No, I believe it's Polish.
But I see you have green nails, so you are celebrating.
I do. I thought it'd be fun. I like the color green anyway, so why not?
Well, they're very becoming. You know, since you're Polish, you probably don't have a whole lot of knowledge about St. Patrick's Day. So let me share some facts with you. Did you know, Jessica, that St. Patrick was actually born in Britain?
No, but I've heard some other weird connections where it's like, oh, like corned beef had some like different origins and things like that.
Yeah, but St. Patrick was actually kidnapped and sold as a slave to a Celtic priest. And that's how he ended up in Northern Ireland. But I digress. Now, the other thing, and are you Catholic, Jess?
No, I'm not.
Okay, but those of us who are, I think a lot of people grew up thinking St. Patrick was actually a saint. But guess what? The Catholic Church has never canonized him. He's a saint in name only. I mean, because there's a whole process you go through.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
So St. Patrick never made it. Also, did you know there were never any snakes in Ireland?
Oh,
so he
okay.
couldn't have driven the snakes out because they weren't there to begin with. Because it's too darn cold in Ireland for snakes. Plus, it's an island they couldn't swim across.
Oh, there you go.
All right, now, where do you think the first St. Patrick's Day parade was held? Take a guess.
I'm going to take a wild guess that it was held in the United States, not in Ireland.
Well, you are correct. However, it wasn't the United States at the time.
Oh, okay.
It was held in 1601 in St. Augustine, Florida, which at the time was a Spanish colony. But it just so happened they had an Irish priest who said, we're going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Well, there's just connections all across the world, aren't there?
Now, and then you mentioned the corned beef thing. Well, corned beef and cabbage actually was never made in Ireland. It's an American innovation. And you got to think back to, you know, post-potato famine. So
sure.
It's like the 1840s, 1850s. A lot of Irish immigrants came to New York. And, I mean, the Irish were discriminated against. They weren't hired. They didn't have jobs. So they were living literally in impoverished. And what they would do is there were ships that would be returning from places like China. And when they had the ships at the piers in Lower Manhattan, the Irish immigrants would go and they would buy whatever was left on the ships. And sailors, because they were gone for months and months, they had like this very salted beef.
Oh,
and they would buy
okay.
what was left. And so then the Irish would take it home. And they would boil it a number of times to get the brine out and to make it more tender. And that's how corned beef and cabbage was invented.
All right.
It wasn't really something that they, you know, and then they put some cabbage in with the beef to give it a little bit more flavor, because imagine how awful that would have been. And then finally, now if you go to any bar, any pub in the United States today, you know you're going to get your green beer, right?
Of course.
In Ireland, they would never, ever, ever dye their beer green.
I'm guessing they don't dye the rivers green either.
Not that either. And of course, you know, it, Guinness just wouldn't make it with a green color. There's no doubt about that. All right, well, we're going to be celebrating a little bit of St. Patrick's Day throughout the morning. We'll check in what's happening at County Clare's Irish Inn and Pub on the east side today. Also, WTMJ's Vince Petrano talks with some of our local Irish dancers. We're going to revisit our conversation with one of the Celtic tenors just in time for St. Patrick's Day. Now, not related to the wearing of the green today, there also appears to be some confusion about how a lawsuit about real estate commissions is going to affect home buyers and sellers. The president of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors is going to join us live to explain. We'll find out why there were orange lights in Milwaukee on Thursday night. Mark Cass is here from the Milwaukee Business Journal, and he's going to share some thoughts about that long-awaited premiere of Top Chef in Milwaukee that's taking place on Wednesday. Also, Matt Miller points out some interesting shoes at the Oscars that you might have missed. Our consumer expert Michelle Reinen warns about tax ID theft. We'll look back at the week in review. Isaac's here pushing those buttons. Jessica Gatzo is in the newsroom. And in just 2 minutes, it's Brandon Stein with sports. It is going to be a chilly St. Patrick's Day. We're only going to get up to about 37 degrees. It's 30 at 8:13 on WTMJ.
College basketball and the madness are officially back in action. On Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers shocking the world as they knocked off the top-ranked Big Ten team in Purdue. This one by a final score of 76-75 in overtime. Thanks to Max Klesmit's runner to put Bucky up one with just 4.8 seconds as they close out number three-ranked Purdue. They'll face off with Illinois for the rights to the Big Ten title later today. That tip-off time is set for 2:30. The Marquette Golden Eagles, on the other hand, though, they did not survive their semifinal game against UConn. The number one ranked Huskies knocked off the Golden Eagles Saturday night, this one by a final of 73-57. Marquette will know later today where they will seed for the upcoming NCAA tournament. Over to the diamond, where Freddie Peralta got the start for the Brew Crew on Saturday afternoon as he tossed five innings of work, only allowing one earned run as Milwaukee goes on for the 5-1 win over Texas. After the game, Freddie talking about his goals before his final spring training start next week.
I mean, not a little more, maybe just to get the pitch count a little higher, probably to 85, something like that, close to 90. And that way, if I get to that position during the season, then I'm going to be ready for that.
The Crew will be right back out to work tonight against Kansas City. That first pitch is set for 6:05. And lastly, after beating the 76ers on Thursday night, Giannis and the Bucks are back in action today and are expected to get Chris Middleton back in the fold following his ankle sprain. Bucks shoot-around will get rolling right here on WTMJ beginning at 11 with tip-off against the Phoenix Suns set for noon. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. Well, it appears we've got winter coming back. It's going to be mostly cloudy today. We've got some flurries. It's going to be breezy. A high of 37, and we are actually going to have wind chills in the 20s today. It is chilly out there, 30 degrees at 8:17 on WTMJ. And coming up next, we've got Mark Cass, and he's got news about Top Chef in Milwaukee. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. What happened to spring? I mean, we had temperatures 60s, 70s. It seemed like this was going to be it. Well, guess what? It's Wisconsin, so winter's back. It's going to be mostly cloudy today. We've got some flurries. It's going to be breezy. A high of 37 because those wind gusts are going up to about 25 miles per hour. It's going to feel like it's in the 20s today. Then tonight, partly cloudy, down to 25. Tomorrow, we've got, and by the way, tonight, the wind chill, it's going to be in the teens. So forget spring for right now. Then tomorrow looks like it's going to be partly to mostly cloudy, high of 38. On Tuesday, we've got the clouds kind of going away. It'll be breezy and mild. We will get back up to 50, but Wednesday cooling down again. It'll be mostly sunny, but only 39. And guess what? Thursday looks like we've got snow coming in. Maybe not so much, but it is snow and a high of 36 degrees. Right now in Port Washington, it's 28. Richfield has 27. Franklin's at 30 degrees. We have 30 degrees in Milwaukee at 8:20, and that means it's time to check in with Mark Cass. He's the editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. Well, I know a lot of people are celebrating St. Patrick's Day today, but there's going to be more celebrations as we get to the premiere night for Top Chef in Milwaukee. Yeah. And Mark, I'm sure you're going to how many viewing parties?
I will be at a couple of them. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure you're like on the edge of your seat. It's a huge deal for the city. You think about, you know, all the hype for this, all the things that went on here last fall, and now it's going to happen. We're going to get to see the opening episode. It's actually shot at one of our local restaurants with a couple local judges involved. And this is great for the city. And, you know, kind of one thing I've been talking about, this is great for us, but even more so, it's great for our image. It's great for our restaurant scene. Think about it. If you're living in Atlanta, you're living in Florida, you're living in California, and you like to travel, after the show, you may say, hey, I want to come to Milwaukee. I didn't know that Milwaukee had a great restaurant scene. We've all known that, but I don't think everyone else across the country does. So this is a great chance to be in the spotlight. I think this is going to show Milwaukee very well. It's going to show our chefs very well, show our city very well. So just a lot of excitement, a lot of energy. And Libby, I know you are, as I said, you've got your glass of wine, you got your hors d'oeuvres, and you're ready to go, aren't you?
Well, all I can tell you is I've been getting myself prepared because I have been watching past seasons of Top Chef on demand.
Doesn't it kind of excite you to see that?
Because
just seeing the shows and seeing where they were filmed, I've seen some of the promos and stuff. There's the art museum, there's the skyline, there's the Milwaukee River. It's a great showing, and it looks nice. It looks really nice.
Well, and it's a quality show, and to have the spotlight on our city is just amazing. And I know as we get into the season, you may have a few more tidbits you'll want to share with us, but I'm not going to ask you yet.
I'm just going to keep them hanging out there. I just talked to so many people who were involved and so many people who saw them out and about, and the energy and excitement was so much fun. And I just think it's great for the city. I think as we talk about the RNC and kind of what it means long term, you can't overlook what's going to happen with this show long term in terms of the economic impact.
All right. Well, let's talk about something else long term, and that is the controversial I-94 widening project. We all want more lanes, but nobody wants the inconvenience.
I wouldn't say we all want more lanes. There's actually a group. You know, this is an amazing project happening for a long time. I would say its controversial would be an understatement. Now it has approval to move ahead to add lanes in both the east and west between 16th and 74th, I believe. So this is a big deal, but a very strong opposition who does not want the expansion, wants the state to look at whether there's environmental issues, impact on neighborhoods, impact on the brewers, whether there's transit options. So I would be shocked if it's not in court at some point.
And what about the cemetery?
That's another issue that has to be worked through. So there's a lot of issues here. But the key thing for the people who want this is you need to improve the lanes. You need to improve the efficiency of the lanes. You know, there's a lot of truck traffic for the entire state. Runs on that freeway as you head out to Madison, you head out to the western part of the state, northern part of the state. So there is a real need for this in their eyes. There's a lot of opposition here. It's supposed to start construction in 25. We'll see if that happens. We'll see if this ends up in court. I'd be shocked if it's not in court.
Well, and let's look at more construction and development, and that's at the Johnson Control site on East Michigan Street downtown. What are they looking at doing, and when might that begin?
Yeah, you know, this one will be our largest redevelopment effort underway downtown. After the Couture, after the Heinz Project in the Third Ward, there's a large site right off of Michigan, right in the heart of the city, right now occupied by Johnson Controls, but is owned by a real estate firm who's now going to redevelop it as of October 1st of this year when the firm will leave there. But what they're looking at, Libby, is housing, retail, maybe a hotel, mixed use, large site, redevelopment, heart of the city, on the hop route, just a really great site and kind of more activity. You know, we've been talking a lot over the past few months about all that's going on in the city, whether it's the Heinz Couture, the project on the river with the Marcus Center. There's a lot happening and there's a lot more to come. And this will be the largest one over the next couple of years.
Speaking of things that are coming, you've got the RNC. You mentioned that before. Yes. We saw a little bit of the inconvenience that having the President of the United States in town for less than 24 hours.
Seemed like he was here for like 3 days. He just wouldn't leave. I was like, come on, Joe. You got to go back to work.
But related to that, you had a roundtable this week with the Milwaukee Business Journal. You asked executives, what are they going to do with their employees during the RNC when we are going to see massive traffic situations?
This one will be interesting because you think the obvious answer is for them to have their employees stay home and work virtually because it's so easy now. But what we're hearing from them and what we're hearing from the leaders of the city is, no, we want people to be around. We want people to be on the streets. We want people to be in the offices because what you want to see as all these people come into town, you want to see an active city. You want to see a lot of friendly people. The one thing we heard from Cleveland is what worked for them was having their residents everywhere, helping out, offering tips on restaurants, just being friendly, saying hi to the visitors, showing a real active downtown. So what we heard from a lot of CEOs is, yeah, we're going to have the band, have them involved in the RNC. We need this to be great. We need this to really show off the city. And one way for that to happen is for everyone to be involved. We can't just go all leave the city for that week. We can't just not be involved. So that's something that a lot of people are going to do, and I think it'll be fun to watch.
Now, finally, let's talk about Kohl's. They had their earnings announced this week. They're changing their merchandising. Tell us what the details of that are, and is this the future for Kohl's?
This is interesting. Probably 3 years ago when you and I talked about Kohl's, we talked about how they're going to more leisure wear, right? Everybody was staying home and just wearing sweats, wearing their sweatshirts and their casual clothes. So that's where Kohl's went. Now that a lot of people are back in the office 3 or 4 days a week, Kohl's is going more to the office wear, what all of us now wear in the office as a return. So Kohl's is kind of adapted to that. Kohl's is doing okay. I've kind of talked long-term how Kohl's has struggled on the web, has really trying to evolve into that national firm that they want to be in terms of their website. So they still have a lot of work to do. They had a lot of success with the Amazon partnership with Sephora, doing things now with Babies R Us. So they've tried to do that. Long-term, though, Kohl's, I think, really just has to see who they are and just kind of grow with that. And this will be one to be interesting to watch. You know, it's a tough retail scene. You know, as you and I have talked for many years, online retail has changed the world, and Kohl's has to see how that's going to work for them.
Have any big plans for St. Patrick's Day?
You know, I got to have corned beef. I'm a huge fan of corned beef. I'm going to go to the Bucks and the Suns this afternoon, you know, because that's kind of Irish, right? Bucks, the Bucks game, well, not really. But
well, you'll be wearing green.
And, of course, I will. And then, of course, what do I do on almost every Sunday? I play pickleball, of course. So it's going to be pickleball. It's kind of Irish, I think, isn't it? No, I don't know. Well, I'm sure someone in our group is Irish. Vince is Irish. So there you go.
Hey, Mark, have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Always good to talk to you, Libby, and I'll talk to you next week.
And speaking of Vince Petrano, a little bit later on this morning, we're going to hear Vince and his conversation. He talked with a lot of Irish dancers around the area. I think you're going to find that interesting. It's a lot of fun. That's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's 30 degrees at 827 on WTMJ. Welcome back. I'm Libby Collins on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com is going to be joining us a little bit later on this hour. Was he right about the Oscars, or did he have a couple of mistakes? He'll own up to it. I know, Matt. And that's going to be about 8:52 this morning. Right now, though, let's take a look back, because tick-tock goes the clock. Milwaukee welcomes the commander-in-chief, and a Georgia judge made a big decision. There was so much more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee announced today that its Waukesha campus will close in spring of 2025.
The university is saying reasons for the close, including declining enrollment and budgetary constraints.
Waukesha was a really good source, but now it's gone.
Wisconsin Elections Commission meets today to decide the fate of an effort to recall Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Our community's call to fire Robin Voss is a call for genuine electoral integrity.
Hold up. Short of 6,000 of those signatures were even found to be in Voss's 63rd Assembly District.
We had a slight miscalculation.
More questions than answers after vandalism at the Milwaukee Public Museum last Thursday.
They actually damaged Granny.
Indeed, beloved Granny on the streets of old Milwaukee, sprayed with an oily substance.
Former Packers running back Aaron Jones expected to sign with the Minnesota Vikings.
Cringe.
Lestecky signing his retirement letter to the Pope Tuesday.
Like people that know, I've grown to love them. We've worked together to fulfill the mission that Christ established for us.
Ticks on.
Two-thirds being in the affirmative, the bill is passed.
The bill would give China-based ByteDance 6 months to divest itself of TikTok before it would be banned from app stores.
We will continue to do all we can, including exercising our legal rights, to protect this amazing platform that we have built with you.
How has your life changed in Green Bay since becoming a Jeopardy star?
I asked if they would let me shoot the Bratzuka, then they said yes.
Good morning, Mr. President. This is your wake-up call.
President Biden in Milwaukee today, his second visit in 3 months.
Blocks around the Pfister Hotel in downtown Milwaukee, quartered off by police cars, members of the U.S. Secret Service, and several plow trucks from the Milwaukee Department of Public Works.
Hello, Milwaukee.
$36.6 million federal grant dollars will be set aside to completely rebuild a roughly 2.5-mile stretch on North 6th Street.
Speeding and reckless driving resulting in crashes 5 times that of the city's average.
I think this is going to be great for the people of Milwaukee.
31-year-old male touched some breathing.
The situation started with a call to the Sheboygan Fire Department for a reported explosion near 9th Street and Humboldt Avenue.
When the fire department arrived here, they quickly recognized that the injury was not from an explosion, but from a gun.
I did see an officer on the roof with a rifle. There was several officers or SWAT members in tactical gear running around.
Pastry and math lovers, rejoice.
Yeehaw!
It's Pi Day.
For affordable housing, for attracting and retaining businesses, and just simple accountability, MMAC has come out against the MPS referendum.
We are super excited to have with us in the studio Dr. Keith Posley. He is the superintendent of schools in the Milwaukee Public School System. You've gotten rid of some school property in the last few years. Is that on the table? Is that a possibility?
John, everything is on the table.
Shots fired. Shout out.
Shout out.
Waukesha County Medical Examiner releases the name of a man shot by police in Eagle Township on Thursday. 39-year-old Matthew Blankman of Eagle fired rounds of shots outside of his home.
Police tape strung along a property line of a home on Lower Clarks Park Road here in Eagle.
One of the initial responding deputies felt that his life was in imminent danger and used deadly force on the armed individual.
We are following breaking news out of Georgia regarding the case against former President Donald Trump. A judge is ruling this morning that Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis should not be disqualified from prosecuting the racketeering case against the former commander-in-chief.
The goal for Team Trump, get this to the Georgia State Court of Appeals, because the moment, though there is no trial date set in stone in Georgia, the proposed date is August. That is terribly close for Team Trump to November.
What are we, gay?
The man with no friends.
Ah,
you mother...
I love French onion soup.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weekend.
And The Weekend Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. It's a chilly morning in Wisconsin, 30 degrees at 840 on WTMJ. Have you filed your taxes yet? Well, if you haven't, be careful. They're out to scam you. We'll find out about that story right after this. I don't know what happened to spring. It's going to be mostly cloudy today. We've got some flurries back, and we're going to get up to 37 degrees. And believe it or not, wind chills in the 20s. Gusty winds, too, about 25 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, going to get down to 25, and those wind chills are going to be in the teens. And then tomorrow looks like we've got partly to mostly cloudy skies and a high of 38. Right now, 30 degrees at WTMJ at 842. And let's check in with our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen from DatCap. Oh, we hate this time of year, Michelle, and that's because we've got to do those taxes. And now there's one more thing to worry about. I know you're getting a lot of complaints about tax-related ID theft. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we've known for years that scammers use your personal information, like your Social Security number, to commit identity theft and try and steal your tax refund by filing taxes first. But now we're seeing a new twist to the scam where the IRS is being impersonated, and it looks like they are sending emails and texts to you that say that they are about your tax refund or a tax refund e-statement. While they look legitimate, know that these messages are from scammers, and they are just trying to trick you to click on dangerous links. They want to steal your identity, put malware on your phone or your computer, and they commonly ask you to fill out an official-looking form in order to hand over that information, again with the enticement of the message being about your tax refund. So disregard these messages. Never click on any of the links, and verify if you are at all concerned that the message could be legitimate. Verify by contacting the IRS direct rather than using any contact information in the text message or the email.
And if you have questions or you think maybe you're being taken advantage of, let's give that consumer protection hotline.
1-800-422-7128, or the website is datcp.wi.gov.
It's 844. You're a minute away from Brandon Snide and sports on WTMJ.
The Milwaukee Bucks playoff push continues on today at Pfizer Forum here in downtown Milwaukee. The good news for the Bucks: Chris Middleton is back after missing the last month of action due to an ankle sprain. He is expected to be available today as Milwaukee gets set to host Phoenix. That tip-off time is set for noon. Bucks shoot-around will begin right here on WTMJ beginning at 11. Over to college hoops, where the Wisconsin Badgers dance continued on Saturday afternoon as they knock off the third-ranked Purdue Boilermakers in the semifinals of the Big Ten tourney by a final score of 76-75. This one went into overtime. Chucky Hepburn led the way with 22 points for the Badgers, and A.J. Storr also added 20, as Bucky will now look for the Big Ten title later today against those folks from Illinois. Tip-off is set for 2:30. From a team dancing on to the music being cut off, as the Marquette Golden Eagles Big East Tournament came to a screeching halt Saturday night as the number one ranked UConn Huskies dominated for the 73-57 win over Shaka Smart and his boys. Marquette will now await the results of Selection Sunday to see where they fall in the tournament bracket beginning next week. And lastly, a couple of Brewers spring training games were back in action on Saturday. The Crew knocked off Texas by a final score of 5-1 in the first game, and then knocked off the Oakland Athletics by a final of 11-4. William Contreras had himself the day, going 2-for-3 at the plate, batting in a run and making more defensive plays behind the plate. After the game, manager Pat Murphy on his star catcher's ascending status.
He's a warrior, he is. Man, this guy's one thing my experience enables me to do from just being around so long is you just kind of can sense, you know, like when a guy's coming into his own. This kid's coming into his own.
The Brew Crew will be back to work tonight against Kansas City. First pitch is set for 6:05. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
It is always great to have Brandon here on a Sunday morning. And like we said, Bucks coverage gets underway at 11 o'clock this morning with Shoot Around. And it's going to be an exciting day of sports here on WTMJ. We have the Bucks, we have the Brewers, and we got it all. It's 8:47, 30 degrees at WTMJ. Coming up, we've got Matt Miller, and he's going to take a look back at the Oscars. A couple of things you might have missed. Wait until he points it out to you. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Okay, I have to admit it. I'm really mad at Mother Nature today. Because I thought it was spring. It sure started to feel like it, but no, not so much. It's going to be mostly cloudy today. We're going to have some flurries. It's going to be only 37 for a high, and because of the wind, it's going to feel like it's in the 20s. Then tonight, partly cloudy, down to 25 degrees, and guess what? Your wind chill is going to be in the teens. Tomorrow looks partly to mostly cloudy, a high of 38. Tuesday, the clouds will start to go away. It's still going to be breezy and mild. We'll get up to 50 degrees. Wednesday, mostly sunny, breezy, and a high of 39. And then on Thursday, we're looking at clouds coming in and snow late in the day. Not sure if there's going to be accumulation or not, but we just don't want to see that, do they? It's going to be 36 degrees for your high on Thursday. Right now, Sheboygan, you're at 29 degrees. Well, Watosa has 30. Delafield's at 28. And in Milwaukee, it's 30 degrees at 8:51. Was he right or was he wrong? Well, it's time to check in with our media critic and pop culture editor from onmilwaukee.com, Matt Miller. And Matt, I know you were right on some of your Oscar picks, but it appears there was a big one that kind of went kablooey on you. And that's with that Best Actress pick.
Yeah, I think the number was 17 for 23, which is a pretty good percentage. But yeah, the actress one surprised me. I really thought they were going to go Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon over Emma Stone in Poor Things for many reasons, but especially because Emma Stone already had an Oscar. Lily Gladstone does not, and they tend to try to, you know, share the love. You know, there normally isn't that much excitement about giving someone another Oscar, especially Emma Stone, who is a great actress, but she's still really young. They don't normally dish these out as copiously as they did. But yeah, I think part of that was, you know, people really like Emma Stone. People really enjoyed Poor Things, which won in general a lot more than people were expecting at the Oscars. But also, I just think people weren't watching Killers of the Flower Moon right now. I think it was, if people have a choice between a macabre 2.5 hour long comedy and a dark, unfun 3.5 hour long drama about horrible things we've done to the Native Americans, people are going to choose the comedy. People are going to choose the fun one. And I think that's what happened here.
Yeah, and I'm probably your case study in this, because I fell asleep during Killers of the Flower Moon. And I'm a huge Scorsese fan. I wanted to see De Niro. I wanted to see Leonardo DiCaprio. I could not stay awake during that movie.
It's a long movie, and I really enjoy that movie, or as much as you can enjoy that movie. But it is long, and the length is the point, you know? The length is, you know, trying to really emphasize, you know, how long and how insidious this plot was that is being detailed in the Killers of the Flower Moon movie. But it's also 3.5 hours. And when you're an Academy voter and you're trying to get in all of these movies at the end of the year, which one, again, are you going to make the time for? The comedy or the 3.5 hour long drama? And I think Emma Stone's win really shows that they chose the comedy.
Okay, so Poor Things, I haven't seen it play anywhere. Or am I just missing things?
You're just missing things, I'm sorry to say. It's been around in Milwaukee for about the last 3 months or so at the Oriental and various Marcus Theater locations. And if you haven't seen it yet, it is still out. They re-released it because of Emma Stone's win and the other wins in some of the technical categories. You can find that at several Marcus Theaters right now. Or if you just want to watch it at home, it is available to stream on Hulu right now. And you can also watch Oppenheimer, which won 7 Oscars on Sunday night, including Best Picture. You can find that still in theaters as well. It's also available to stream on Peacock, but honestly, that is a movie you're going to want to watch on the big screen with the big sound. That is 100% a big screen movie. I would say Poor Things is too, but, you know, I get it. So you can stream those or you can see those in theaters still.
All right. So speaking of theaters, what's out there right now that we might want to see?
Yeah, it's an interesting collection of movies right now. You've got Dune Part 2 still, which is, again, I would say that's another one you're going to want to see on the big screen. It's got these massive visuals. It's a big, epic sci-fi story. It's definitely worth your time. I really enjoyed that one. You've got Kung Fu Panda 4 for kids, which it's been so long since there was a new kids movie out in theaters. I don't know why Hollywood has stopped making animated movies for kids. But apparently we only get one every few months now, which is bizarre because they all make money and parents have kids that they need to take out of the house every now and then. But yeah, so you've got Kung Fu Panda 4 right now out there for kids. And if you're more of a horror junkie, you have Imaginary. But I'll just tell you right now, if you really want to see Imaginary, just stay home and watch Insidious. It's the better version of that movie.
And is there anything we're looking forward to in the next couple of weeks, or are we now, since it's post-Oscars, sort of the down period for movies?
Next weekend, we've got Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters movie coming out, which I wasn't a huge fan of the last one that came out that you probably forgot existed, if we're being all honest. But there's this new one coming out that looks kind of fun. And then the week after that, you have Godzilla and Kong, the new Empire, which seems a lot of fun. It has a high bar to clear, though, because the Godzilla Minus One movie that came out this past winter was terrific, an outstanding Godzilla movie. And now the bar is set pretty high for Godzilla films, so we'll see if him and his buddy Kong can deliver another awesome blockbuster for us.
By the way, one of the high points of the Oscars telecast was when all the guys walked up on stage with the Godzilla statues. I love that part.
If you look at photos of their shoes, the heels of all their shoes look like Godzilla claws. It was really fun, and that's part of the reason why I think they won. They campaigned in a really charming way, and the movie's great. So you had a 1-2 punch of a great campaign backing a great movie.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that. Listen, Matt, always great to have you here, and have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
You as well.
It is 8:57. Well, the headlines seem to come out of nowhere on Friday saying that the 6% commission on buying or selling a home is gone after Realtors Association agrees to seismic settlement. But what does that mean here in Wisconsin? Well, coming up after the news, we're going to be talking with the president of the Milwaukee Association of Realtors here. And I'll tell you, it is so confusing. I here in the last couple of days, I talked to a number of experts in the field about it. And I don't know, I might be even more confused after talking to them than I was before. So we will break it down for you. We'll try to get you all the information you need. And that's all coming up right here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Also next hour, it is St. Patrick's Day. So we're going to be celebrating a little bit. And so you'll want to stick around. Up next, we've got Jessica in the news right here on WTMJ.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
Well, it is St. Patrick's Day, and a little bit later on this hour, we're going to be celebrating with you with a few interesting guests. I think you'll enjoy it. But before we do anything else, it has been A very confusing weekend, I think, if you're either buying or selling a home. Those headlines have been out there. It says realtor settlement will change the way Americans buy and sell homes. Realtors groups are going to cut commissions after settlement. The huge $418 million lawsuit will mean you can find a home online without paying commission. The headlines are confusing. But joining us from the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors is Mike Ruzicka. And Mike, you have been in this business for a long time. You've been president of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors for over 25 years. First of all, were you surprised when this settlement was announced on Friday?
Yeah, it caught us all off guard, everyone in the country, actually. Even our state association that's very tied into the guys at the national level, they were totally caught off guard. So, yeah, it was a kind of a shock, and we're still kind of in the process of figuring out what it all means. But you know, I think it's really important that buyers and sellers that are thinking about going out looking for homes today or listing their house, in their world, nothing has changed, because Wisconsin, luckily, is a very pro-consumer state, and the listing contracts that we have are written in a way that everything is disclosed. And that was the crux of the case in Missouri that was settled ultimately.
What were they doing in Missouri that was different than Wisconsin?
Well, I don't know how Missouri law works, but from the lawsuit, they're alleging that buyers weren't aware of what the compensation was for their agent that was purchasing the house, and that sometimes sellers weren't aware of it either. In Wisconsin, it's disclosed in the listing contract, WB 11, line 51 says compensation to others, and it approves to the seller what they will compensate the other side, the buyer's agent in the transaction. It shows them how much the compensation is. So everyone knows what's going on. I was actually shocked to hear that other states didn't do that.
What has the commission been traditionally, or has it changed over the years?
There's no standard traditional or no standard compensation or commission. It's all based on market dynamics and what each broker feels they need to make in order to stay in business. So generally, and what's interesting in Wisconsin, especially Milwaukee, is it's extremely competitive. Every agent goes out on listing appointments, competing with other agents. So the commissions are about as low as they can go because they're competing with each other. 5-7% is what traditionally we've heard, but what each side gets is different. Once the realtor set their commission and the seller approves on a sharing commission or a compensation to others, that gets split up between the agent who's actually in the transaction, their brokerage. So it gets sliced up six different ways. And it's kind of funny because everyone says, well, there's a standard commission. There is not at all. And there never has been.
Has commission changed in the years you've been in the business?
Yeah, there's always been downward pressure on commissions. Some brokers, there are a lot of new brokers that have come out of new mousetraps. There are discount brokers that really limit the services they provide. Some $500 brokers that, they'll put a listing in MLS and then the seller has to do everything else themselves. There are a lot of different, like I said, different mousetraps out there. And so commissions have always been, kind of churning.
I guess what a lot of people are wondering, when they saw that number, $518 million lawsuit, where is that money going to go? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. I'm guessing to the plaintiff's attorney.
It always goes back to the lawyer, right?
Yeah, I think. If anybody wants to complain about commissions, I would look at that. But and honestly, I don't know where it's going or, from what I understand, what I did see is that the National Association is paying the settlement over 4 years, or something like that. But I honestly have no idea where it's going.
All right.
Hopefully to a charity.
Yeah, let's hope so. All right. So let's talk about what this means going forward, because it said that as of July, things are going to change. Do you see things changing here in Wisconsin, particularly in the greater Milwaukee area?
There'll probably be some more business models that come up. But what's interesting is we have so many different ones, like I mentioned before. We have so many different business models now. But, you know, the realtors are constantly rethinking how they do business. So we'll probably get some things like that. One thing that won't change is market dynamics. Like I think in one article I saw, they said prices are going to drop. That is absolutely not true. The compensation that realtors receive is not based on an inflated price. So, you know, a $400,000 house today is not going to be less, you know, once the settlement is approved, because it's all about what buyers and sellers are willing to pay. And then the compensation comes out of the transaction, not from the sales price when the price is set. So, if, you know, people are thinking, oh, we're going to wait to buy because prices are going to go down. It's not, that is absolutely not going to happen.
Now, what does this mean where they're talking about how you can now find a home online without paying commission? Is that misleading?
I would say it's misleading. You can go to probably a dozen different websites right now and look at a house. You can see the inside and get an idea what the price is. In a lot of cases, you can probably make an offer on it, but I don't really understand where they're getting that from.
Interesting. All right. So how is this going to affect realtors in the area? Do you see them not? Because, I mean, they're basically independent contractors. They have to build their own business. Is this going to affect them and the money that they're making? Do you see fewer realtors wanting to deal with this going forward?
You know, I'm not sure. That's one of the things, you know, we just heard about this on Friday, and we're not sure what the ramifications are going to be. And I need to talk to a lot of our brokers to find out how they think it's going to affect us. But one of the things it's not going to affect is that we have a realtor code of ethics that's not going to be impacted. The MLS rules, you know, there's still a lot of really hard and fast rules in MLS. It really that goes to keeping the data in the system pure. One of the things we don't want to see is what you see on a lot of websites that just kind of throw up, you know, a lot of times misleading information. We really take the data integrity very seriously with MLS. And then, state law, as I said before, you know, the listing contract, we have a very, very pro-consumer state. And, you know, thank goodness. And it does, every contract we have is looked at from, okay, how does this benefit the consumer? Is the consumer aware of what's going on in the transaction? And so those things aren't going to change. You know, what is going to change? Well, who knows? I mean, the market is still really, really tight. We need 5,000 new listings just to, you know, get up to that 6-month level of inventory, and we're not nowhere near it. So, you know, I think from the market perspective, sellers and buyers, their activity, that's going to continue and really be strong for the foreseeable future.
Mike, if somebody's thinking of buying or selling a home, what's the best way to find a realtor to represent them?
I always say talk to your friends, neighbors, and you know, family members. An interview three of them, you know, kind of go to their, if they have an open house, go in, talk to them, call them. They're very, very friendly type A people. They're more than willing to come over to your house and talk to you about their services. Give them a call and talk to them for 15 minutes about, you know, the services they provide. And again, that kind of goes to, you know, what we're talking about, the level of service you receive. One of the things when this first started kind of was bubbling up, people were concerned about is that we're going to become like, buying a car, where you kind of walk in and the buyer is unrepresented and everyone just feels uneasy about the transaction. That's why it's really important to keep a realtor involved as an advisor in the process.
A realtor you trust particularly. Mike,
yeah,
Rizicka, I'll tell you, you, as I said, I get a lot of respect for you. You've been doing this for how many years?
24.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've seen the markets go up. You've seen them go down. You've seen rough times. You've seen great times. And you certainly know the business. And I appreciate you breaking this down for us. I think there's still going to be a lot of questions over the next several months as this breaks down in the news. But Mike Rozicka from the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors, thank you so much for explaining this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
It's 9:18. You're a couple minutes away from Brandon's Tide and Sports right here on WTMJ.
College basketball and the Madness are officially back in action. On Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers shocking the world as they knocked off the top-ranked Big Ten team in Purdue. This one by a final score of 76-75 in overtime. Thanks to Max Klesmit's runner to put Bucky up one with just 4.8 seconds as they close out number 3-ranked Purdue. They'll face off with Illinois for the rights to the Big Ten title later today. That tip-off time is set for 2:30. The Marquette Golden Eagles, on the other hand, though, they did not survive their semifinal game against UConn. The number 1-ranked Huskies knocked off the Golden Eagles Saturday night, this one by a final of 73-57. Marquette will know later today where they will seed for the upcoming NCAA tournament. Over to the diamond, where Freddie Peralta got the start for the Brew Crew on Saturday afternoon as he tossed 5 innings of work, only allowing 1 earned run as Milwaukee goes on for the 5-1 win over Texas. After the game, Freddie talking about his goals before his final spring training start next week.
I mean, not a little more, maybe just to get the pitch count a little higher, probably to 85, something like that, close to 90. And that way, if I get to that position during the season, then I'm going to be ready for that.
The Crew will be right back out to work tonight against Kansas City. That first pitch is set for 6:05. And lastly, after beating the 76ers on Thursday night, Giannis and the Bucks are back in action today and are expected to get Chris Middleton back in the fold following his ankle sprain. Bucks shoot-around will get rolling right here on WTMJ beginning at 11 with tip-off against the Phoenix Suns set for noon. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. A busy day in sports right here on WTMJ, so you'll want to stick around all day long. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, did you look up in the sky on Thursday night? Did you see all the orange lights? Well, why? We're going to find out. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, it's going to be a mostly cloudy and a little bit chilly St. Patrick's Day. We will get a few flurries. It's going to be 37 for a high. Wind chill, so feeling in the 20s. And tonight, partly cloudy, down to 25, feeling like it's in the teens. Tomorrow looks partly to mostly cloudy and a high of 38. On Tuesday, we get up to 50. Wednesday, some sunshine, 39 for a high. And Thursday, we do have a slight chance of a little bit of snow. Right now, Germantown has 30 degrees. Pleasant Prairie's at 31. Heartland has 28. And Milwaukee has 31 at 9:25. And today, of course, we're wearing green for St. Patrick's Day. But let's find out why Thursday night Milwaukee was lit orange. And joining us is Jay Saunders. He is from the Wisconsin chapter of Multiple Sclerosis Society. And Jay, tell us why everything was orange.
Orange is the color of MS awareness, and right now we are in the middle of MS Awareness Week and MS Awareness Month here in Wisconsin, and we were very, very excited to have so many fantastic organizations and buildings lit up orange. The Hone Bridge, Gaslight Building, U.S. Bank Baird Center, just to name a few. And it was fantastic to see the city lit up orange for MS awareness.
All right, well, let's talk about MS because there are thousands of people throughout Wisconsin who are affected by it. What exactly is multiple sclerosis?
So MS is kind of an unknown. It's a neurological disease for most people impacting the brain. You essentially have parts of your brain that are fighting against your immune system, essentially. Sclerosis is a word for scar, multiple being scars. So for most people, they have lesions on their brain. And that is the most basic way for me to describe it in a short time. But it, like you said, it is a disease that impacts a lot of people in Wisconsin. In fact, Wisconsin has the highest rate per capita in the country of MS. And that's all the more reason why it's important for awareness.
And that's a statistic I was unaware of. Any reason that there would be that many cases in this state?
It's a good question. And if we had the answer, just like everything else, this disease right now does not have a cure, nor do we really know the reason why it happens to people. It varies. when I was diagnosed, I didn't check off any of the popular boxes. You know, this is a disease that a lot of times will impact younger females before anything else. I was diagnosed when I was 32, and in Wisconsin, you know, one of the things that some people say is vitamin D is an important part of your immune system, and we don't have a lot of sunshine here in Wisconsin parts of the year. So that could be part of it, but scientists are really still trying to figure out why Wisconsin and why this disease in general.
This week, there was a lot of news nationally about two actresses who are affected by MS, Christina Applegate and Jamie Lynn Sigler. And I know they did a pretty high-profile interview on one of the network shows about what life is like for them. And it was interesting because Christina Applegate's disease seems to be a lot more advanced than that of Jamie Lynn Sigler. So my question is, does MS affect everyone differently?
It absolutely does. And there are two different types of MS traditionally. There's something called relapsing remitting MS. And if anyone of a certain age group remembers the TV show The West Wing, that is what Martin Sheen's character, President Bartlett, had, relapsing remitting MS. There's also progressive or secondary progressive, and that is much more serious. That is when, you know, you'll see people who are unable to walk or have issues with speech, or it can be much more of a serious disease for some people. But again, you're absolutely right. And that's another mind-boggling thing about this disease. It impacts everyone differently.
Are there any particular symptoms that a person will experience in the early stages?
I can tell you from personal experience, and a lot of people end up going to their doctor, you know, for this particular reason. I started having like numbness and tingling up the right side of my arm and then eventually down the right side of my leg. My doctor sent me to a neurologist who had me take an MRI, and that's when they discovered the lesions in my brain. There are a lot of other symptoms, blurriness and vision, balance issues, but for a lot of people, it starts with the numbness and tingling in their extremities, especially one side.
Jay, where can we learn more about multiple sclerosis?
The National MS Society is an absolute amazing resource for people. Their website has everything from what is MS to medications for MS to how to support people with MS. It is, like I said, a wealth of information, and I would suggest that people do some research because, like I said, this is a very unknown disease, and it's all about awareness.
Jay Saunders, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you like the song? I love it because it's the Celtic Tenors. Do you know they've sold over 1 million records worldwide? And joining us is one of the Celtic Tenors, Darrell Simpson. Darrell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Milwaukee.
Darrell, how did you become one of the Celtic Tenors?
Well, believe it or not, the three of us all started together in the world of opera way back in 1998. We were all on stage together in the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin, and I guess following on from the great success of the three tenors, of course, Pavarotti, Domingo, and Carreras, the idea kind of formed to start an Irish version, and lo and behold, here we are.
Now, you don't just perform Celtic music. I mean, you do a wide range in your performances.
Yeah, we really do. Obviously, you know, Celtic music is very much part of our DNA, but we like to move into more contemporary things. Everything from Randy Newman to Bob Dylan, and then also the classical and operatic favorites as well, the Nessundormas and that end of things. So there's kind of something for everybody. I think also what surprises people is that we're actually quite a big harmony group. And sometimes when you get three tenors together, it's all about singing the tune. So we do enjoy that. Not that there's any ego competitiveness within tenors, but that's what they always say anyway, isn't it?
Oh, who's the best of the three?
Oh, well, I am, of course.
Well, what's your favorite song to perform?
You know, it really depends on the occasion. Obviously, coming up to this time of year where March Madness for me turns green as far as, you know, Irish culture is concerned here in the U.S., I have to say, you know, it's an oldie, but when you do an a cappella of Danny Boy and you see people absolutely, you know, go to silence to listen to it, there's still something very powerful and poetic about that piece of music. You might even imply that it's a bit cheesy to be thinking about Danny Boy. It's an old favourite of your grandmother and grandfather, but there's something, as I say, very poetic about it and very touching.
You know, as we've said, you perform all over the world, and you've been here in the United States a number of times, including Milwaukee and the rest of Wisconsin. But are American audience expectations different from when you perform in Ireland?
I'm always surprised. I mean, Irish music seems to be very much part of the DNA here in the U.S. So it's a very educated audience. From what I see, they know a lot of the songs. They know the stories, and, you know, with an Irish group, that's important, that you're also telling the backstory to songs and having the crack, as we say in Ireland, which is just having good fun, by the way. It's an old Irish Gaelic word, not to be misconstrued. But I think we have a real appreciation for American audiences. And I think the expectation from us is that we want people to come in and have a great time. And American audiences are good at that. They know how to kick loose and relax and join in and clap and sing. And even you get the odd scream out from the audience too, which is great fun for us.
Darrell Simpson, thanks for getting up early with us.
Not at all.
I love that music. All right, coming up in just a couple minutes, our own Vince Vitrano talks with Irish dancers around the community. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's going to be mostly cloudy and some flurries today. A high of 37. Those wind chills are going to feel like they're in the 20s. Matter of fact, it's some flurries going on in Mequon right now. 32 degrees there. We have 32 at WTMJ at 942. And, you know, so many Irish dance schools in the Milwaukee area. Don't be surprised to see those bobbing curly heads this throughout the day. And WTMJ's Vince Petrano tells us it's a joyous time for dancers and critical for growing the tradition.
When Irish dance is your passion, St. Patrick's Day is more than a day.
We call it St. Patrick's Day season because it goes over the whole month.
That's Kira Block.
I'm a sophomore.
How long have you been dancing?
I've been dancing for 9 years, 8 years.
Ever since she was a kid and told her mom, I want to do that.
I saw the Glencastle Irish Dancers at Irish Fest because we go every year with my family. And I saw them on stage and I told my mom, I want to dance with them. They look so cool.
This performance at 3rd Street Market Hall downtown, one of dozens, from pubs to schools to senior centers, Glencastle puts on through the Shamrock season.
Probably over about 40 to 50 shows in the next 2 weekends.
Bridget Jaskalski is a world champion Irish dancer and founder of the school.
This is the best time of the year for them. This is where they get to show everyone all the hard work they put in all year long, share our culture with everyone. It's wonderful.
Important recruiting tool for kids who want to compete or who just want to dance.
That's really important to us, that each child in the school kind of finds their own path and their own journey with Irish dance, if it's just doing shows and having fun, or even if it's just coming to class and learning steps.
And adults too.
And adults.
It's not too late.
Yeah, we have a good thriving adult program. I'm still trying to get you to dance, Vince.
I don't know if you would be after one day.
Vince Vitrano, WTMJ News.
Vince, I'll dance a reel with you anytime. For a list of upcoming performances or to learn more about getting involved in Irish dance, text the word Irish to the WTMJ talk and text line. That's the word Irish to 855-616-1620. It's 9:44. You're a minute away from Brandon Snyden Sports right here on WTMJ.
The Milwaukee Bucks playoff push continues on today at Pfizer Forum here in downtown Milwaukee. The good news for the Bucks: Chris Middleton is back after missing the last month of action due to an ankle sprain. He is expected to be available today as Milwaukee gets set to host Phoenix. That tip-off time is set for noon. Bucks shoot-around will begin right here on WTMJ beginning at 11. Over to college hoops, where the Wisconsin Badgers dance continued on Saturday afternoon as they knock off the third-ranked Purdue Boilermakers in the semifinals of the Big Ten tourney by a final score of 76-75. This one went into overtime. Chucky Hepburn led the way with 22 points for the Badgers, and A.J. Storr also added 20, as Bucky will now look for the Big Ten title later today against those folks from Illinois. Tip-off is set for 2:30. From a team dancing on to the music being cut off, as the Marquette Golden Eagles Big East tournament came to a screeching halt Saturday night as the number one ranked UConn Huskies dominated for the 73-57 win over Shaka Smart and his boys. Marquette will now await the results of Selection Sunday to see where they fall in the tournament bracket beginning next week. And lastly, a couple of Brewers spring training games were back in action on Saturday. The Crew knocked off Texas by a final score of 5-1 in the first game, and then knocked off the Oakland Athletics by a final of 11-4. William Contreras had himself the day, going 2-for-3 at the plate, batting in a run and making more defensive plays behind the plate. After the game, manager Pat Murphy on his star catcher's ascending status.
He's a warrior, he is. Man, this guy's one thing my experience enables me to do from just being around so long is you just kind of can sense, you know, like when a guy's coming into his own. This kid's coming into his own.
The Brew Crew will be back to work tonight against Kansas City. First pitch is set for 6:05. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. In just a couple minutes, we're going to find out what's going on at a local pub for St. Patrick's Day. There's a day to celebrate for everybody who's Irish or wants to be. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Might see a few flurries today. It's going to be breezy and a high of 37, feeling like it's in the 20s. And tonight, partly cloudy, 25. Looks like that wind chill is going to be down in the teens. And then tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, a high of 38. Right now, Port Washington is showing us 30 degrees. Brookfield's at 32. Richfield is 28. And we have 32 degrees at WTMJ at 9:52. Well, celebrating for St. Patrick's Day started with that Shamrock Parade, and it's continuing today because it's a big day, and I know they opened at 8 o'clock this morning at County Clare Irish Inn and Pub. Joining us is Lauren Sutton. And Lauren, you started early today, didn't you?
Yes, we did, right at 8 o'clock with our full Irish breakfast. Bar opens at 8, and we're already getting it started.
and again, I know you probably had people out there waiting for you when you opened the doors at 8 o'clock. But I got to ask you about the blessing of the shamrock. Now, I haven't heard of this tradition before. What exactly is that?
So the priest has a blessing that he goes through. Blessings are very important in Irish culture, and it kind of sets us up for the day.
Well, and I know you've got a lot of different dance groups that are coming out today and a lot of singers. Tell us about some of those.
Sure. So Beglin Academy is coming in at 12:30. They're fantastic. Barry Dodd and Denise Lauman will also be here at 1:30. Barry Dodd is a mainstay in the Milwaukee Irish community. He has what we call a residency with us every Thursday at 8. Ian Gould will also be here at 3 o'clock. He is just the nicest human you will ever meet. He plays classics, Celtic, and covers. We also have the Scrubbers, which are high-energy Irish punk rock.
Wait, I'm going to stop you right there. Tell me about Irish punk rock, because that's not how traditionally think of St. Patrick's Day. What's Irish punk rock?
So if you've heard of Flogging Molly, they have a similar sound, and they play traditional Irish, but do it in Irish punk set, and it is just high energy. It's fantastic. And St. Patty's Day, it's a full day, right? We have so much fun.
It's inside and it's outside. And of course, it's not going to be real warm today, but you're going to be celebrating until late tonight.
Yes, we are until midnight. So Frogwater is closing us out. They close us out every year. They just bring kind of like a bluesy Irish music. They have their own take on it, but it is absolutely fantastic. You have not closed out St. Patty's Day until you've closed out with Frogwater.
What's your favorite part of the day?
That's really, really hard to say because every act is just so different. They bring their own flavor. It's all day, basically. I know that sounds so ridiculous, but it's all day with all the entertainment. We have just a mix of everything. We have more laid-back chill with Barry Dodd. We have high energy with the Scrubbers. We have traditional fiddle with Blackthorn Folly. But it's also walking around and seeing everybody just have a really nice, genuine time. And we're all celebrating together. It feels like just one big party.
And everybody is Irish on St. Patrick's Day. Lauren Sutton from County Clare, Irish Inn and Pub. Great to talk with you this morning, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Same to you, Clonsa.
A lot of people are going to be having that Jameson's and the Guinness a little bit later on today, celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Well, we've got a minute here or two left. We've got Jessica Gatzo. Jessica, I shared some Irish trivia with you a little bit earlier today. You know, we talked about the first St. Patrick's Day parade to take place in the United States. It was way back in 1601 in St. Augustine, Florida, which at the time was a Spanish colony. Imagine that. But let me ask you this, Jessica. Do you know where and when the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Ireland took place?
Oh, good question. I'm guessing it took place maybe quite a few years later. no idea where, though.
Yeah, well, you know, most people would say, oh, it had to be Dublin. But mm-hmm. au contraire, it was in Waterford in 1903, which All I right. think is kind of interesting. And then also, I'm sure you've seen a Celtic cross.
Yeah.
It's very distinctive. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the circle at the very center of the Celtic cross represents?
I don't know.
Ah, it's the sun. So if you happen to have a Celtic cross, you're going to see that. Now, one last question here. Do you know what Erin go bragh means?
Oh, gosh. I know I knew this at one point, but I...
Ireland! It's Ireland forever.
Oh,
what else?
Of course.
Erin go bragh, and have a great St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there today. And stick around, because right after the news, it's going to be Brian Wickert and Tim Holdman. They're going to be talking more about what we discussed about an hour ago regarding that news about real estate commissions, and it's a lot of confusion about it. We're going to hear their take. That's all coming up right after the news. And then, of course, it's Buck Shoot Around at 11 right here on WTMJ. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.